Albert Breer is with us. Albert, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
We are pumped, man. We can't wait. I hate the preseason. I'm so sick of it. I can't wait for it to be over. But I was just saying that I am so excited for the start of this regular season. I'm just counting down the days. I can't wait for it to get going.
Yeah, and you know, you guys have reason to be. I think so much of what they've done the last 2 years here is coming to a head. And, you know, it's so interesting because there's been so many different people who've had their hands in that pot. You know, I really going back to when Sashi got there in 2016 and building the Capitol, and then John Dorsey being able to sort of, you know, take advantage of that war chest of assets that they had. And, you know, beyond just that, waiting for the quarterback, you know, and you guys had to sit there and see Carson Wentz go to another team. And, you know, you watch Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes and what they become. And now there's the potential for that to all work out with Baker Mayfield, you know, after 2 years of passing on quarterbacks. You know, that's without even getting to what happened this offseason with Odell Beckham coming in. There's a ton of reason to be excited there.
Albert, this commentary from Baker on the Daniel Jones stuff, saying you know, from the GQ article, is this a big deal? And also, do you buy what Baker's selling on his rationale?
Well, you know, my guess is, and look, this happens sometimes, my guess is that probably there was more context to whatever he said there. And maybe he was upset that the quote that whatever he said there about Daniel Jones got sort of clipped and pulled out, you know, and that happens sometimes. And, you know, I can certainly understand why, you know, if that's what happened, why he would be upset about that, because maybe there was greater context to whatever he was saying. I wouldn't believe it wasn't what he said. I mean, I think he may claim that. I wouldn't believe that it wasn't what he said. I'd be surprised if anyone would make something like that up. But I could certainly see there being, you know, maybe it lacking some context that he otherwise gave. And so is it a big deal? I don't think it's a huge deal. I mean, we're not used to seeing franchise quarterbacks operate this way. And, you know, I think for a long time now, you know, that position sort of become part of management. And these guys a lot of times carry themselves like CEOs in the way that they, you know, put their public persona out there and everything else. Baker's different than that. And so, you know, I think on one hand, it's really surprising to see a quarterback kind of conduct himself that way publicly. On the other hand, it's always worked for Baker, and it worked for him at Oklahoma. And, you know, it even worked for him through a really tumultuous rookie year, having to go through all the coaching changes and all that. So, you know, I appreciate him being authentic to who he is and everything else, and being authentic to what got him there. You know, and I think the evidence from the past shows us it's not going to stop him from doing anything, but it's certainly different than what we're used to coming from franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah, it is unusual. I mean, we were saying this yesterday and again today, though, Albert. In the end, like, we hate the players give us cliches, but then when they don't give us cliches, we get mad, right?
And that's the thing. And, like, these guys, like, I try never to get upset about a guy who's being honest, because that's what I want 100% of the time, you know? And so many of these guys are so coached, and really, it's starting at a younger age with a lot of these guys. Happening in high school with some of these kids, where, you know, they're being coached to talk a certain way and conduct themselves a certain way and be as bland and boring as possible. You know, from my perspective, I think we should be begging for guys to be like Baker, to be authentic, to be themselves, to kind of carry themselves, you know, as who they are. And, you know, we've seen that with Baker, no question about it. And, you know, like you said, like I have a hard time criticizing people for being cliched and being coached in what they say. And then turning around, and when somebody is that way, you know, saying, well, you know, like, now it's a problem.
Baker wants to play, half in this game on Friday against Tampa Bay. A lot of teams aren't playing guys like Indy's not playing the starters at all. Do you think Baker will play, and should he play?
You know, I tend to think, like, getting some game action helps. I will say that I don't think the trend of players sitting the preseason is going to reverse itself. I think what a lot of coaches are looking at now, and I believe the Browns only had one set of joint practices, right? They practiced with the Colts.
Yes,
correct.
You know, what a lot of teams are looking at right now is, you know, the ability to use those joint practices to replace what they'd have with preseason games. And I talked to one coach about this, and he like put it in a really, really easy way to understand. He said, you know, I get my starters 50 reps in each of these joint practices, right? So it's 50, like 11 on 11 reps in each of those practices. And this team had four of those. And so, you know, 2 days of one team, 2 days of another team, that's 200 reps for each of, you know, the starters. And the benefit to that, he said, is, A, we can run our real stuff because it's not going on tape. It's not on TV, right? So we can actually run the stuff that we're going to run during the season. So you get that benefit. B, it's in a controlled environment, so there's less of a chance of injury. You know, and C, you know, you're really getting to sort of match them up and work with the other coaches to see some of the things that you want to see. And so, you know, his argument was, I'm actually probably getting a little more out of, you know, having these guys in a joint practice environment. You know, and then I can turn around and I can put the backups in against another team starters in the preseason game, and I can develop depth that way. And so, you know, when he kind of laid this out to me, it's like it makes all the sense in the world. And so, you know, from a product standpoint, clearly the NFL has to do something about this, no question about it. You know, but if I'm the Browns, you know, I'm sure they did use those joint practices to try to generate game reps for the starters. And, you know, now this is going to be your last chance to get however many reps you want to get for Baker Mayfield. And my guess is he's probably pretty close to being ready for week one. So I can't imagine we'll see a lot of him this weekend.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Albert, I started by saying that I hate the preseason. It gets worse every year. And in a way, maybe it's better because now that the starters don't play, we can stop pretending that it matters when we know it doesn't. I mean, it matters for the team to get ready, but it doesn't matter in terms of being able to analyze the team.
No.
Is the league interested in doing anything? I mean, I know, I guess in theory, they'd like 18 games and two preseason or whatever. Is there any inclination to fix this? I mean, I don't know if it's a problem or not, but is there?
I mean, I know that there are certainly owners who feel like it's not great for the NFL's brand to be putting a product out there that isn't, you know, the highest level, which is why, honestly, the 18 games to play 16 thing never made sense to me because if you're doing that, you're going to be watering down what is your premium product.
That's
so
right.
Why would you do that? You know, I think that they will be looking for solutions, and they'll continue to look for solutions. And you know, the easy thing for any of us would be to just pull a couple of games out of there and say, okay, let's cut down to two preseason games. Their issue, of course, is going to be replacing the revenue, and it's not just the gate; it's also, you know, the television contracts that all the teams have with local TV networks. You know, and so there's a bunch of different stuff at work here. I think there is a way to get creative with it. I mean, if I'm these teams, I make a bigger deal of the joint practices. I think they're a better take for the fans than preseason games are. I think you get to see things from a different perspective. You get to see one-on-ones you wouldn't otherwise see. There's a lot to be taken from those joint practices, and I think a lot that the league could gain from them if they maybe turn these into almost jamboree-type things where, you know, you could sell tickets and maybe televise parts of it and all of that. So I think it's on the league now to get creative with this because I don't think that there's great value in having four preseason games outside of just the revenue that they generate through the TV contracts and, of course, the gate.
Well, think about this, Albert. If you did what you're suggesting, make instead of four games, have two games and two, like, scrimmages that you're hyping up and you're televising and you know selling tickets for to some degree. And if they added a second bye in the regular season and you made the regular season 18 weeks, the players would be in favor of that because they get more rest. And then you'd have an extra week of TV revenue. I would think between that and the scrimmages that you're talking about, you'd probably make up that 2 weeks of missed revenue, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think you would. And I think it's something they got to look at. You know, and like I said, like, I mean, the NFL's certain ability to turn anything into a TV event, right? Like, they turn the freaking schedule at least into a TV event. So my guess is, you could find a way to turn these jamborees. And that's just a word I'm using. Not somebody.
I like that. It's a good word, jamboree. It's a hell of a word.
But taking those and turning those into events, turning those into television events, you know? Like, I wouldn't – I'll put it this way. If I'm a normal fan, I'm probably not going to be tuning in for much tomorrow night. But, you know, if I maybe get to see –
Okay, so the Texans and the Packers had joint practices like last week, right? So if I might tune in to watch DeAndre Hopkins in one-on-ones against Jair Alexander. You know what I mean? Like, I might tune in to see that sort of thing, and then, you know, they could have interviews as part of it and turn it into something. You know, I certainly think there's like a creative way where they could turn that product into something that feels way more premium than what we're getting with the preseason games. The preseason games, I mean, the optics of it, I mean, just all of it. Like, you know, the half-empty stadiums, like with the end of the games, which just feel like it's a bunch of people shouting into the wind. It's not a good product. I don't think it looks good for the league. And I do think, like, again, there's something you could do creatively with the joint practices that would feel a lot more premium than what we're getting right now with the preseason games.
Albert, final thing, the playoff expansions being talked about to add, you know, adding a seventh team, where you stand on that and will it happen?
Yeah, I mean, I like the number now, but I'm not like, I'm not vehemently against the idea that that they could go to, I'm not vehemently against the idea of adding a seventh playoff team in each conference.
Eight would be bad, Albert. Eight would be bad. Huh? Seven, I'm okay with seven. Eight, don't go past seven, though.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I like about the setup right now is how important, there's different levels of how important the regular, in fact, I wouldn't mind seeing the college football playoff going to six teams for the same reason the NFL playoffs are at six teams, which is like in each conference, which is like the regular season's important because of that too, because you get a bye, you know? And so I like the idea of the top teams in each conference having a bye and, you know, that adding some value to the regular season and sort of making every game more important, because I do think, you know, the greatest commodity that football has at both the college and the pro level is how important the regular season is versus the regular season in other sports, right? And so, like, I think that keeping a team with a keeping at least one team in each conference with a bye would be a plus to me. I really like the number the way it is right now. Like, I can't remember too many times where I've thought at the end of the season, man, I wish that seventh team in the AFC or the NFC was in the tournament because they really would have made some noise.
Yeah.
I don't feel like you feel that way that often, but I'm not totally against the idea of adding another playoff game if it does wind up fixing something somewhere else. Like we said, like maybe replace that revenue that you would give up in cutting the preseason down.
Great insight like this every Wednesday for the rest of the football season. Albert Breer, MMQB, every Wednesday at 5:20, right here on the Fan. Thanks, Albert. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.